The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Isn't it crazy that America is turning 250 years old? I mean, look how far we've come. Now, we've got coolers in our sofas, light-up cup holders, and power-articulating headrests. When it comes to furniture worthy of this major milestone, Bob's Discount Furniture has all the styles all of America wants at the everyday low prices we deserve, backed by tons of 5-star reviews. Check out the Sedona Power Reclining Sofa, a genuine leather one-stop shop for relaxation with built-in charging, cup holders, and supportive bobopedic seats, perfect for lounging in the AC all day. You can even complete the look with the matching love seat and recliner. Throwing summer parties? The HomeWorks dining set features comfy bobopedic seating and clever storage built right into the table and bench. Or customize your space with the customer favorite modular Bob Sectional. It has over 1,000 five-star reviews, family-proof construction, and wireless charging for hundreds less than the competition. At only $250 per piece, building your dream sectional is incredibly affordable. Celebrate the 4th at Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
Bucknutters. It's Thursday, June 11th, 2026. I am Dan Rubin. This is the Bucknuts Morning 5 and Change, joined as always by Garrick Hodge and Mark Porter. As you can see, Mark is not in his humble abode. He is on the road. They are naming the stadium after him today at Kent State. He is an alum there. Okay, maybe not naming the stadium after him yet. But his son will be there working out today. There's other guys in tow, and we will discuss that as we ride the DJ Porter recruitment train here. But we are going to first discuss what the Ohio State Buckeyes are doing. They have had camps all week. Garrick has been there. Mark has been there, too, which we will get to later in the show. But first, Garrick, let's give a general idea to the people of what you've been doing this week at camp and what's been going on, and then we'll get into the names.
Yeah, I've finally gotten on Mark's level to where the days are starting to blend together with how often that, although I've traveled far less miles than Mark has going all over the state, I've been fortunate enough to have one centralized location. But the amount of talent that's come to Columbus this week has been pretty substantial, even on the Wednesday 7-on-7 tournament. There were 8 Power 4 offensive linemen that were there being centers for the 7-on-7 team. But they also got to work out a little bit inside and get some technique coaching from Tyler Bowen. There's also just been a tremendous amount of talent. Like I said, like you go to the Tuesday camp and you get guys like Kellen Hall, who I'm not ready to call him 2028's DJ Jacobs quite yet, but I'm getting really close because I've watched this young man twice in the past month, once at the Under Armour camp in Columbus and once at Ohio State's camp, and the guy has just wrecked every offensive lineman that he's gone against and faced. And
that's a great place to start. Tell us, each guy we talk about, now that you've kind of seen them in person, give where they're from, give their year, give their height and weight based on how you saw it and how much Ohio State is interested. But Kellen Hall is a great place to start.
Sure. Kellen Hall is listed at 6'4", 265 pounds. Maybe closer to 6'5". We'll see. But 247 Sports has him rated as the 25th prospect nationally, the third best defensive lineman, and the top prospect from the state of Kentucky. It's from Louisville. I would say that, I mean, we're 6 months away from the release of the big board for 2028 class, but barring a miracle and him dropping pounds, I think we can go ahead and safely say that Kellen Hall is going to be a tier one prospect for Ohio State and arguably the most coveted defensive lineman prospect for the Buckeyes now that Jameer Weiss is already committed to the Buckeyes, because it was more astounding watching them side by side at the Under Armour camp because they just complement each other so well. Jameer is, to me, just a guy that just overwhelms you with his strength and his power and his leverage, whereas Kellen has a big bag of tricks that he can beat you anyway. He can beat you with finesse. He can beat you with raw talent. He can beat you with spin moves. Frankly, like, I got really excited watching Kellen Hall because he's a guy that, like, you go to these camps and you're like, okay, let's see what these guys have. And the guy just brings it, and he's one of those guys that make you blink twice and go, wow, okay, let me make sure I saw what I just saw. But want to get Mark here involved too. Mark, what were your impressions of Kellen from the little bit you got to see of him and hear about him on Tuesday?
You know, you did a great job of describing him, and I always said that when Bill Kerlick goes and sees a kid and then I go see a kid and we describe him the same, that's one of those situations where, like, we take and we agree, and that really makes you feel good. The explosion and quickness of his feet were his number one trait to me. Like, the way he went in out of bag drills, you could see the lightness. I almost think he had linebacker-like feet. You know, you could tell that kid in his youth was probably playing a different position where he was running around, because big men aren't given feet like that very often. And you said he beats people in a variety of ways. His first step, he can run around you because he's so freaking fast that, you know, he gets that rip and he gets even with your shoulder. And if he gets even, he's leaving. And he gets that rip on you, or he's got a nice repertoire where, boy, I can't wait to see him pass rush in college and see if what I saw in person translates to that. Because you're right. Like, we would keep anointing werewolves and players that are truly unique, but at Ohio State, that's the type of player this is. He's one of those unique guys. And again, the compliment is he's a three technique. He's a pass rusher. He's a penetrator. He complements your one technique. And I could see him in certain situations, if he had to play a five technique and do some slanting and angling from there, he's going to penetrate and be in the backfield before you know it. He mismatches the offensive lineman at camp with his speed and quickness, I feel.
To get both those guys in the same class would be unreal. The comparison's been made at defensive tackle, getting those guys to Wyatt Smith and DJ Jacobs on the edge in this class. I think it's probably a pretty fair comparison. You could probably make the argument that Weiss and Hall are both regarded more highly recruiting-wise than Smith at this point, but definitely a nasty combination inside for sure. Next guy I want to talk about who earned an offer yesterday is Jay Shell, linebacker, as James Laurinaitis. I like to read the quotes from the players, from the prospects, about James Laurinaitis. You can just tell he knows what he's doing. You get that vibe that they're being recruited correctly. Garrick, what do you think of Shell in person? Again, how'd the eye test go?
Yeah, absolutely. Jay Shell from Georgia, 6'3", 214 pounds. By 247's rankings, he's the 199th overall prospect, the 14th linebacker. Really that traditional linebacker build. He really caught my attention before the camp even started, quite frankly, because as Mark knows, some position groups, the Ohio State assistants take you out to work out a little bit early. And James Laurinaitis was working out two linebackers specifically, and that's Asia Birch, who we'll talk about in a little bit, and it was also the young man by Jay Shell. And I was just watching him, and he was just putting him through the ringer and making sure that he lined up with the eye test, the agility drills, handling the sled, how he bursts off the ball, how he reads and reacts. And frankly, James Laurinaitis loved what he saw. The little bit that I saw of Shell during the linebacker drills, I thought he looked very smooth, very fluid. This is a well-moving, very athletic linebacker that has tenacious pursuit. Obviously, he's not tackling ball carriers and pads out there. So you just kind of get a feel for the agility rather than the ball carrier instincts, right? But honestly, this is a guy that James Laurinaitis liked quite a bit. And the family seemed very pleased with how their experience went at Ohio State. So this is definitely one that I'm looking forward to watching down the road. What about you, Mark? What do you think of Jay?
I can't confirm it, but was he the linebacker that did the backflip after his pass rep where he guarded somebody?
Because I didn't see it myself, but I think that was him. Yes.
I think it was, and there's a reason he got an offer, but he is ultra athletic. He was covering people, and it was before I had his name written down. He did it, and I knew he was in a white shirt, and I'm like, it's a pretty good bet who just did that backflip to kind of put the exclamation point on what he did. Really athletic. I watched him go through some bag drills. You could see him and Asa in that private workout that, yeah, Laurinaitis likes those guys. I mean, he really spent some one-on-one time, even before they went on the field. You know, there was a lot of one-on-one time with the families. What a great way to get to know these guys in a unique way when you get that. That was probably an hour workout. You know, there was a half hour of warm-up where they kind of tested, and then they got an hour one-on-one workup, and then they got the entire camp. So if you watch a position group that long, and I spent probably too much time with the quarterback group this time, I got to know those guys really well. You know, by the end of it, you get a little more than just who they are on the field. You get a little more of their personality as they're standing there talking. But I think he fills that Mike linebacker role, and Asa may be the outside edge player. But we'll talk about Asa when we get to him.
We will get to Asa. I want to go to the last guy that earned an offer yesterday, and that is Hayden Koo, wide receiver out of California. We have a new wide receivers coach, but yet we are still spanning the United States for offers. Your thoughts on Hayden Koo? Obviously, there's still a little bit of a thing. Coming to Ohio State to get an offer at wide receiver is still quite the honor.
Yeah, frankly, my first impression of him, I'm just going to be totally honest here. I saw this young man running out to take part in individual wide receiver drills, and I thought he was wearing a Texas Tech shirt just based on the logo that was on there with the two T's centered around his shirt. And I was like, what is that young man wearing? And today of all days, this has to be a troll.
I 100% thought the same thing, and that's how I identified him all day. Oh, there's Texas Tech, but go ahead.
His friends bet him he wouldn't put it on.
I mean, fortunately, I was able to connect the dots. That's his high school. That's not Texas Tech. He plays at Tustin in California. But, Hayden, the bit I watched him, was just one of the smoothest route runners all day. You just watched his entire route tree, and it was just smooth. It was he got in and out of his breaks the right way. Every pass that was thrown his way that I saw, he caught. You know, he's also a safety for his high school, as Becca just pointed out. And this is a guy that I think might end up being a West Coast recruit just based on kind of his offer sheet. I don't know. But if any school can pull a wide receiver from the West Coast and get him to the Midwest, like you said, Dan, it's Ohio State. And Mark will have probably a lot more to say about Hayden than I will, because he stuck with the quarterbacks all day for, I don't know, some reason. It's probably crazy. But, would you assess that he was one of the smoother wide receivers that you saw throughout the day?
I would say Brock Boyd-esque. And when you first see him, he's not going to pass your look test. You're not going to look at him and go, oh my gosh, there's the dude of dudes in the wide receiver group. You had to watch him go through the cone drills, and you saw, okay, there's some smoothness. The first time the Texas Tech jersey showed up for my son, you know how you get a rotation and the receiver comes over and gets a route. I was like, oh, this kid doesn't look like much. I wish that 6'4 guy that was standing a couple reps back was going with my son. And then he wins. And then, you know, DJ got him again, and he won. And then it's ironic that DJ is in a viral video that's got over 100,000 views, and the receiver who he's throwing to in the first play is Koo. And you kind of do the math. You're like, that makes sense. And the route he ran on that play was supposed to be a hitch route. And my son said he threw his hand up, and he wanted to just a go ball, which during a camp situation, you don't have kids like that audibling on the fly or a quarterback that recognized it. And I think my son just panicked and ripped one to him because he put his hand up, and it turned out to be his best rip of the camp. And So there's a great story for you guys about Hayden Koo.
Yeah, it helps. Like I told Mark, when you're going to post or something gets posted on the internet, you want Ryan Day in the picture and walking across so everyone looks, oh, what's Ryan doing?
Or Taylor Swift. Yeah.
And we talked about that. Taylor Swift and Ernie Johnson headed for a million. Okay, let's get to the meat of the discussion here and what's always going to be the sexiest topic, and that is a Michigan legacy potentially favoring Ohio State. That is Asa Birch. I'm going to let these guys do all the introduction here to him, but my question that I want answered at some point, is this a defensive end or a linebacker? You're going to hear names that you know here. You know it's high school. You know the previous recruit of similar ilk. And I will say this. I don't know. I can't guarantee you this, but I've read a lot of recruiting stories. I don't remember the last Michigan legacy to refer to Michigan as that team up north in his interview with our guy. I would like to say that's a very, very positive sign. I've already had that put on pamphlets. It's being dropped over Ann Arbor and by helicopter right now so they can get it. But seriously, if you read, I really encourage you to get a premium subscription and go read this story. It'll be worth it. He's a very good quote. I was very impressed with the, not a lot of times I read the story and go, oh, here we go. I was excited. Now I'm kind of geeked. Garrick, if you could introduce us to him, height, weight, speed, look, personality, vibe, and then Mark will take it to the next level because he's got a real nice background with the prospect.
Yeah, coming into the camp, he was listed as a 6'5", 210. I think he's more 225, 230, so I went ahead and updated it to 225 on the profile, and that passed the sniff test for me. Again, one of the two linebackers that James Laurinaitis worked out, and I'm having an identity crisis every time that I write about him in an article, whether I refer to him as a linebacker or an edge, because James Laurinaitis is recruiting him. So naturally, everything in my brain, I'm like, okay, so this linebacker, wait a second. Okay. But I think that they're going to keep him doing linebacker drills as long as they can to maybe justify James Laurinaitis recruiting him, for lack of a better term, because that's where the bread and butter relationship is right now. And it was really interesting because he was doing individual linebacker drills and he looked smooth. He looked fluid there. But then when the one-on-one portion of the camp started, he came over and did the defensive line drills and pass rushing on the edge and looked very successful there. So this is a guy that even at the camp, they were moving around all different places, getting different looks at him. And so as I was going through this identity crisis of, all right, do I classify him as a linebacker? Do I classify him as an edge? I spoke with him and I was like, okay, so what do you think Ohio State is recruiting you as? And he's like, I'm just going to put it simply. I think I'm Arvell Reese, at least in that type of role. And I love the confidence the young man has when he's like, I want to do what Arvell Reese did at Ohio State, but better. And that just jumps off the page to me as a guy that knows his value, knows that he can come in and contribute right away. We're bearing the lead here. I did speak with his dad in passing a little bit, and frankly, his dad is already more than okay with him coming to Ohio State if that's what he wants to do. If anything, it's more the mom they want to win over, because they were joking. He was like, I don't know if my wife is – she's like, I don't want to put on those colors after all those years. He's like, well, you're going to if your son wears them. So I thought that was a pretty amusing, humorous moment. But honestly, right now in this recruitment, I would say Ohio State leads right now, which is astounding to say over a Michigan legacy. They have a big visit coming up to Michigan next week, so I'm sure, as Birch's own words, the team up north will – get a chance to impress him. But yeah, last thing I'll say on Birch is he told me when he got an Ohio State offer in April, whereas the rest of the country started offering him teams like Michigan, Notre Dame, Penn State, etc., he started tearing up a little bit because he only had three offers just a few months ago, and Ohio State offering him was really a true indication to him that he made it, and he was very grateful that the team in his home state valued him and offered him. And frankly, this probably is going to be another Ohio State-Michigan battle. And Ohio State has certainly won those recruitments against Michigan for prospects in their own state. And Michigan's got a feather in its cap that, yeah, it's a kid of a legacy. But I would give the odds to Ohio State right now. But again, long way to go in this recruitment, 2028 prospect, but he's in the running for top prospect in Ohio. It'll be a top battle for me personally between him and Jameer Weiss, because I think both of them are very talented prospects.
Mark, your thoughts, and if you could put him in context at some point with Chaz Coleman, just because they've kind of same school, I guess, similar vibe. Yep. And you know those guys. You can maybe talk a little bit about his dad. People have been asked about that.
Yeah, Chaz Coleman was the quarterback at Warren Harding, and that's what everybody knew him as. Senior year, he went to defensive end and really blew up, and obviously Penn State blew up there, and then he's, you know, had his trip to Tennessee and back.
Asa,
yeah, Asa, I've been watching him since probably sixth grade, you know, a couple of basketball games a year and a football game because my son's same class and we play them. I thought he was a Terrell Pryor looking quarterback when he was younger. You know, that long, lanky. He always stood out. Eighth grade basketball, we beat them a couple times during the regular season, and then he went nuts in the championship game and took us down. So, like, I could go on and on about how his career has got towards that. But eventually, he was getting so big a quarterback, he just embraced the defensive side of the ball. And he initially looked like a linebacker. He was a long, stringy kid. But I saw him at a basketball game in December, and his dad and I walked through the indoor facility, Warren Harding. And I didn't think he was much of a prospect. I thought he was three MAC offers. And then you see him now in the transformation over the last 4 or 5 months to 230 pounds or whatever he checked in at. It's one of the best transformations I've seen. And then when you talk about his father, he's a preacher, the fit preacher, as he calls himself. And he is. He's a weight room guy. You couldn't have a better combo of a dad, son, like to bring him through this process. Someone who's already been through it, someone who, you know, hard work, you know, faith, all those things. I mean, this really lines up to one of those recruits that you really can't miss on. I mean, I don't think this kid's done growing. I think he's just going to get bigger. I think after, you know, working with Sonny Styles and Arvell Reese, you see his body and you say, it's the second or third coming of this type of player. And let's see if we can develop him and turn him into a top five pick in the NFL draft. But big time upside for Asa Birch.
By the way, it's not just here. If you are 6'3.5" to 6'5" and you can rush the passer and also play linebacker, you are now referred to as an Arvell Reese type. I can tell you that the Cowboys have drafted someone who's from a school that will remain nameless, and they can't decide to put him at defensive end or linebacker, and they asked him, and he said, I see myself as an Arvell Reese type. That's the new term. We've had these over the years where these names become like part and parcel of that. So, and by the way, it also means this. It used to be, Mark, and you can tell me I'm wrong, 6'5" was just, unless you're Ted Hendricks, Google it, kids, the mad stork, you were just too tall to be a linebacker.
Yeah, the tweener term.
Now that we have 2 6'5" guys get picked in the top 7 at linebacker, you now can say, hey, come on over here, play for James Laurinaitis. Worst case scenario, you go to defensive end with Larry Johnson. Kind of feel like they find like a magic combination here.
That is, and that tweener word used to be a bad word. Now it's a good word.
You know,
it's funny how, yeah, it means diversity. It's about to get really loud in here. Everything's starting.
Good.
So maybe I'll kind of put a bow on things. This is the 7-on-7 for Kent State. I already saw Euclid here, Akron East. I'm looking behind me. I think we got Louisville down there. So there's going to be a lot of teams, a lot of players I'm going to be looking at today. Of course, my son is here. We just did that Ohio State camp the other day, and I tell you what, it's like Field of Dreams. The Masters should call the Ohio State field crew and ask them how they keep their field so manicured. My son said I felt bad when I kind of scuffed the grass and my cleat kind of ripped it up. I felt like I needed that stuff that they have, the divot stuff in the golf cart. I felt like I had to run back and put it in there. So those are the conditions. The treatment of those players in that early workout is unbelievable. To work out for Coach Fessler and have him, you know, give you little pointers on, you know, shoulders or get your foot through, it's awesome. And all of the guest quarterback coaches there spent a tremendous amount of time with these kids. Like, I caught my son having more conversations on the side with coaches than I usually do. And I was really encouraged by that, because we went there with the expectations to see MAC coaches, Ivy League coaches. You know, we put in perspective of what Ohio State is. But to go there and just work out as, for any of the kids, it is a special day. To work out side by side with these four stars and five stars, the quarterback from Utah, the quarterback from Kentucky, the quarterback from California, these kids all follow each other after. And I told my son, I'm like, they're going to be on TV someday. You're going to be sitting there and you're going to say, oh my gosh, that's that kid I stood in line with that day. So those are some, you know, we talk about all the five-star stuff there, but the perspective of a dad and a son, these are some of the things like we're talking about on the way home. And our buddy Donnie Furco ran a 4.4 at the camp. So it was nice to bring him down there, some Canfield speed on display. He got noticed, and that's all Donnie we could ask for.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game, and head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
That's the best Pittsburgh name we've had. I cannot stop saying it. And by the way, I watched the video of Donnie's run, and I'll just say, as someone whose only skill was speed, you get a look when you run. God knows no one here in this house has ever run a 4.4. But when you run that, the look, here's the look. It's, what? Damn. And then look, you know what I mean? It was impressive. My boy was flying, so congrats.
Yep.
Donnie can fly.
Yep. I hate to leave you guys here, but I can hear the yelling and screaming behind me. So,
well, we appreciate it. And Mark, congrats on your journey. Not the last stop. And give a good speech today when they put your name up there. So, as you know, Mark played the tight end at Kent State. He has regaled us with stories from there. I don't think he's going to get his name on the stadium, considering when he was there, they weren't super successful. I'm not sure they won 10 games in his 4 years. We digressed. All right, Garrett, now let's switch to looking ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio State's coaches have done all this. There's camp today. Let's tease that. and then let us know what's going on this weekend, as it's another weekend of visitors coming into town. So, Garrick, no rest for the weary, and definitely no rest for Garrick.
Well, I teased that I got to see Kellen Hall and Jameer Weiss side by side at the Under Armour camp in Columbus. Not going to get to see them side by side today, but I'm going to get to see them 3 days apart, because Jameer Weiss was hanging out with his teammates, Trotwood Madison guys, at 7-on-7 yesterday, and he told me that he will be camping at Ohio State today. So, going to get to see an Ohio State commit in action, get to see what that looks like. And if it's anything like it turned out to be at the Under Armour camp, he's going to have a really damn good day in one-on-ones. And offensive linemen, be ready for some power coming your way. Dan, do you like NFL legacies? Is that typically the type of bloodlines you like to recruit at Ohio State? Yes or no?
I like some more than others, but yes, that's now part of the pedigree and the template for which I use for recruiting.
Okay. Well, there are two interesting NFL legacies coming here. The first one is 2028 California safety Gage Weddle, son of NFL legendary safety Eric Weddle.
Who I like him.
Yes.
And is he ranked high?
Yes. He's right now a four-star. I feel like he could bump that up a little bit. Right now, if we were doing a big board, I'd probably weigh the pros and the cons of putting him in tier one, tier two. But at the worst, he's a high caliber tier two player. So we're going to get a look of him in action. The Weddles love Ohio State. They've been to Ohio State countless times, and it says a lot that a guy who already has an offer from the Buckeyes is coming back to camp. So, and hey, maybe his dad will offer some more opinions on Michigan's quarterback situation.
I was going to say, yeah. Eric Weddle's his dad, as they've also apparently been to a Michigan gathering, and he's got some opinions on that. If you want to get out the Google machine, it'll be worth the search.
Yes. Okay. So the other one is Graham Simpson. And if you don't know that name, he is a quarterback from Martin, Tennessee, and he is the younger brother of a man by the name of Ty Simpson, who was just picked in the first round of the NFL draft by the
Rams. So his dad's a coach.
Yes. So I believe he already has an offer from Ohio State. So this is another instance where he's not camping for an offer. He's camping because he really likes Coach Billy Fessler and wants a chance to work out with him. So that's going to be a pretty interesting connection to watch. And last name I'll give you here, and if you want more names, you can certainly come to Bucknuts, and the live visitors list of what I have will be up at 10 a.m. And I will.
Hold on a second. Garrick, I want to make sure everyone knows this. Another reason for your premium subscription, anytime you want, you can go right to the front row, and Garrick has listed. Here are the visitors. It is updated daily. You can even check on there, and he has the date when he's updated it. So you can follow this in real time. You know, we gather the information and share some of it with you here, but you can literally follow this along with Garrick day to day, minute to minute. And the only way you can do that, as you scroll at the bottom of the screen, for those of you playing at home, we've got a 60% deal going right now. If you go over to Bucknuts, you will not miss out if you do that. So, Garrick, keep it up. So,
last one I'm going to talk about in terms of camp visitors today. It's a big day at safety, Dan, because there are two safeties here that I could feasibly see playing for Ohio State. And the other one is a young man by the name of Brandon Nash, who plays for St. John Bosco in California. 6'2", 200 pounds, has visited Ohio State countless times, already has a crystal ball projection on Ohio State. Every time I talk to him about the Buckeyes, he just lights up and speaks glowingly about them. If Ohio State really wants him, I think that they're eventually going to convert on him. That's how confident I've already seen the relationship develop between him and safeties coach Matt Guerrieri. So that's really what we're looking forward to today. Now, with all these camp things kind of as a disclaimer, these are the most fluid visit lists of all time. I think all the four of these guys are going to show up, of course. But, sometimes you'll walk into a camp, be like, all right, I'm going to look at this guy, this guy, this guy, and this guy. And then when you get in the door, you see four guys, and you're like, throw out the visitor list. This guy that I wasn't expecting is just here.
That's the beauty of Ohio State, man, is we're not getting as many no-shows as we are surprise visitors. Correct. There are other programs you could cover that they're worried about guys even coming to the camp that say they are. So this is a first-world issue for your Buckeyes.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about official visitors this weekend. Let's see. I believe there are six coming in total. So another it's not overly small, but a little smaller weekend.
I like it.
Four uncommitted, I believe. First, Monchan Sales. We've talked about him at length. I'll just be as transparent as possible. I think that it would take quite a bit for him to move off of his stance that Indiana and Alabama are his current two leaders right now. I think that Ohio State's coming into this recruitment trailing. Now, I do think that one of the best relationships he has in the recruiting industry is with Cortez Hankton. So maybe something this weekend can turn that around. But, I mean, he's told Brett Greenberg, who does an outstanding job covering Alabama for 247, that Indiana and Alabama are his top two right now. So, you know, I usually like to run, if I had to predict right now, column that I run every Friday, and I'll, of course, do that for this weekend as well, too, tomorrow. And he would firmly be in the out category for me now. I won't spoil it for the others because you got to get a worthwhile premium subscription to Bucknuts for the others. But so we'll see if I change my tune on come Tuesday.
Monchan Sales grew up in Alabama, moved to Indiana, and his nickname is Bama. So this is kind of like one of those, oh, he has an Ohio State tattoo kind of things. The tide is not going with us.
Weirdly enough, I'd probably think Indiana might get him right now. But
I was going to say, if I had to predict, I would go Indiana. Yes.
Now, if I had to predict right now, I would go Indiana. But we are an Ohio State show, not an Indiana show. So moving on. Next one coming in that is really going to grab headlines is offensive lineman Caden Moss, who we've also talked about at length. I think right now, if I had to handicap his recruitment, the slight edge would be Ole Miss. Just checking with a lot of people network-wide and in the recruiting industry, all signs seem to be pointing towards Ole Miss. But I think I'm sensing some cautious optimism here from Ohio State. This is the type of prospect that Ohio State has, for lack of a better term, whiffed on the past five or so recruiting cycles. The top tier, tier one, out-of-state offensive linemen, especially ones from the South. Ohio State fans have been clamoring for a guy like this for years. I've gotten their hopes up quite a bit for a lot of different names that we don't need to rehash, but this is another chance to see if Ohio State can get him. Now, the silver lining here is that if he does go to Ole Miss or somewhere else not named Ohio State, I think Ohio State's offensive line class is already really damn good right now with the five they have. And it got even better because if you talked about the updated 247, top 247, I should say, on Wednesday, Mason Wilt is now in there. He's 92 overall, I believe. So even though he's probably going to be an interior offensive lineman in college, they still think that much of his nastiness streak that they put him in there. So I already loved quite a bit of Ohio State's offensive line class. Okay, so the one that is committed that everyone's going to be interested to see where things are at is DJ Jacobs. So he will be on campus this weekend. Hasn't taken any other visits that have been public, at least, this summer. And Ohio State's going to do what they have been. They're going to keep telling him that he is the highest priority prospect on their board. They're going to build a class around him. And I still think things are gravy here right now. That doesn't mean that his phone is going to stop ringing from teams like Miami, teams like Tennessee, teams of that ilk. They're going to push him all the way to December and signing day. And if there was a time where maybe Ohio State's going to sweat a little bit, I would think it would be November and December. I don't think much is going to happen on that front right now. But I still can tell you that there's a lot of optimism about keeping DJ Jacobs committed in this class. And like I've said before, Dan, and you know it, it is really hard to flip prospects of this caliber.
It's not their first rodeo, too. It's kind of like with Jeremiah. Ohio State knew full well what they were getting into, taking the commitment early and having to play defense. So we've done it. We can do it again.
Sure. All right. I'll go over this one briefly, and then we'll talk about the last two uncommitted. Quentin Cypher, linebacker, committed to Ohio State, coming here. Going to pair really well with Prince Goldsby, the other linebacker commit. Quentin Cypher is more of the traditional linebacker, whereas Prince is more of an outside linebacker, pass rusher specialist. So both complement each other really well. Quentin Cypher, if he sees a ball carrier, he tackles him. It's one of the more consistent tacklers that I've seen in the 2027 class. Okay, so cornerbacks. There's been a lot of questions about cornerback recruiting specifically, especially since Bryce Woods committed to Virginia Tech. Jaden Carey, a Florida prospect, just visited Ohio State last week. Already told you guys that I really like where Ohio State sits with him. This weekend they will get Deontay Malone and Monsana Torbert on campus. So I really think that these are both guys that Ohio State is really high on that are in-state caliber players. From what I've gathered, if Ohio State had it its way, it would love to take all three of them, Jaden Carey, Torbert, Malone, and they're going to push hard for it. We'll see if they can get it done. I think Torbert specifically is an Ohio State-Michigan battle, so that's another one that you have to win to keep the home state prospect in-state and keep them away from the team up north, right? I think, but what was more interesting, a little thing that I gleaned, is that even if they get those three, I still think that they would shoot for the moon for a fourth quarter. Now, I think that they'd want him to be a tier one caliber guy, and the name that comes to mind is Gabriel Osborne Jr., who just committed to Oklahoma. I don't think Ohio State thinks that recruitment is over. I think that they're going to go into the fall and see if things play out in their favor. Maybe Oklahoma has a down year. Maybe Ohio State has a great year. Devin Sanchez just shows how much he's grown from year one to year two and becomes
one of the nation's
best corners. I mean, it's already happened. It's just a matter of time.
That is happening.
Yes, it's already happened. It's just a matter of time until the world catches on, right?
Sure. But,
so if they don't land a player of that ilk and they land those three players, I think that their fourth quarterback could come from the transfer portal. So we'll see what happens there. But
we were discussing another prospect yesterday, and you made this point to someone that, hey, the team this guy's committed to could have a really bad year. That's something I have to remind myself. Like, recruiting is generally fluid now up until D-Day. It didn't feel like that in the past as much, but I do think you've made some – like, Ohio State having another great year never hurts.
No, I don't think so at all. And the other thing that I've kind of really thought of is that I'm really kind of interested to see where this goes. If the lack of commitments, for lack of a better term, kind of continues into the summer, some fans might, you know, get a little antsy, and that's understandable, right? But based off of the November that Ohio State put together when they completed their senior evaluations, regardless of what happens this cycle, I'm willing to give Ohio State the benefit of the doubt that they're going to be just fine on the recruiting trail, because I even in the back of my mind wonder too, like, okay, what's the plan here, specifically at cornerback? And then they end up getting two top 150 guys, one of them being a top 50 guy, right? Once they did their senior evaluations. And they also got a guy like Legend Bay, who he's everyone's favorite subject to talk about in camp. So I'm willing to see where this goes. One note I will give before we get out of here and I head to camp is I don't really like where things are at right now with Ohio State and Cassie Curry. I was told
– Cassie Curry, of course, a defensive tackle from Sierra Canyon out west, who plays alongside heavily favored target Marcus Fakatu, that Cassie Curry?
Yes, that Cassie Curry. Just took a visit to Texas. From what I heard on Tuesday, there was a lot of momentum on the Longhorn side. They're really trying to wrap this one up as soon as possible. They wanted to wrap it up on Tuesday. Obviously, that didn't happen. But I expect him to commit to Texas who knows when. If it doesn't happen, then that means that Ohio State is – maybe it has a chance to get him on campus next weekend for a visit. But as of right now, I would expect that not to happen. Maybe it's coming, maybe it's not. But it just makes their pitch to Marcus all the more important. So I think if you asked Ohio State privately, they would probably tell you going 1-for-2 is absolutely what we wanted to do. Now, you can't go 0-for-2. That would cause some uneasy feelings. But we'll see what happens. If you want another defensive tackle prospect in general, Carlos May is scheduled to visit Ohio State next weekend, and he's also another very talented prospect, had another nice rankings boost into the top 150 prospects. So interested to see where they would go in terms of true defensive tackle prospect. But yeah, for lack of a better term, I do not expect Cassie Curry to be a Buckeye.
Ladies and gentlemen, Garrick Hodge. Very, very impressive. Very, very comprehensive. And guess what? He's going back out today for more info. He's actually going to work through the weekend. This guy's a beast. We love having him here. Garrick, I appreciate all your effort. Keep it locked to Bucknuts. Even get yourself a subscription, though some people are getting sick of the sales. Have a good one. Nutters of Buck.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.